to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 147 of the podcast, your NFL Week 9 edition. Great to have you guys with us today. Let's keep it cooking. 3-1 last week with our straight up NFL picks. We hit the teaser as well. More on that in a bit. In addition, in just a few moments, we will go to Houston. Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Sean Pendergast, good friend of mine who loves to dabble in the picks game. We're going to have him come on the program to talk about Sunday's card. Houston has a big game with the Broncos this weekend. Hint, hint, that will be in our picks. So we'll get some insight from Sean in just a few minutes. But first, let's see if we can keep it cooking with this week's edition of our six-point teaser play of the week. Last week, bang! We went ahead and we teased Pittsburgh down over Cleveland. No sweat. We teased Kansas City down over Denver. Little bit of a sweat early in the game, but it hit, meaning our six-point teaser play of the week is now 6-2 on the year. This week, we once again turn our attention to Pittsburgh. Take them from +3 to +9 at Baltimore. Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. I got the Steelers winning this game outright on Sunday, so I'll gladly take the additional 6 points to push this line to +9 for a matchup with a Ravens club riding a 2-game losing streak. Take note that over the last 12 years, the Steelers have lost to the Ravens by double digits just 4 times. 4 times in 12 years. And remember, Pittsburgh has won 3 straight, and the road team in this series has covered the number in 4 consecutive matchups. So you're going to tease the Steelers from +3 to +9. The second half of that comes Sunday night. Tease the Patriots from -5 to +1 against the Green Bay Packers. Gillette Stadium, 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. As for the Packers, well, Aaron Rodgers is an all-timer. Not exactly a novel statement. But the problem for number 12 is that the rest of his roster couldn't hack it in Conference USA, let alone a Sunday night game at Foxborough, where the Patriots are 35-15-2 against the spread over the last 52 home games. Additionally, be advised that Green Bay is 1-4 against the number over its last 5 road games and 3-7 against the number over its last 10 games overall. Meanwhile, Brady and company, 36-16 against the spread over their last 52 games overall. Give me the Patriots +1 and the Steelers +9 in our 6-point teaser play of the week. Before we get to my man Sean Pendergast, a reminder, this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships will be held starting today, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, at Louisville's legendary Churchill Downs. The event attracts top horses from around the world, with this year's event having attracted horses from the U.S., Canada, Ireland, Great Britain, France, Brazil, and Chile. To get the inside scoop on betting the Breeders' Cup, check out our friends at ExpressBet, expressbet.com, where they have a free wager guide, which features picks, analysis, and betting strategies from seasoned betting experts, including Nick Luck, Jeff Siegel, and many, many more. To download ExpressBet's free wager guide, visit expressbet.com/Breeders' Cup Wager Guide. We will have that link in the bio of this podcast, so you can just click there. But for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, do yourself a favor and head over to expressbet.com.
Pay that man his money.
To Houston we go, where you can catch him on Sports Radio 610 weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Central. You can find his writing at houstonpress.com, and he's also on the pre- and post-game show for the Houston Texans, who we'll be talking about today. Sean Pendergast joining us here on the Sharp 600. Buddy, I appreciate the time. It feels like we've been talking for years, but it's only via Twitter. This is the first time we've been on the phone together.
Yeah, this is cool, man. You know, kindred spirits, though, man. When gambling is the topic, I feel like there is that soulmate connection via Twitter and via the internet. So it's all good, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's exactly where I want to start. Since the Supreme Court rolled back PASPA last May, how have you treated that on air? Do you guys have more sports betting coverage, less, the same? Are you doing anything different?
We probably, I would say, a little bit more. I had always been, going back to when I first got into radio about 11 years ago, I had always been somebody who liked to talk gambling on the air because I always found it interesting. not just from the standpoint of, hey, you can go win some money, but I always thought that the way that gambling kind of laid out certain topics, I always felt it was a really good way to kind of frame takes on things, you know, because it's very percentage oriented. It's very opinion oriented, obviously, if you're picking a side on something. So, Joe, I had always been somebody who talked a lot about it. And it's funny, when I moved over to Sports Radio 610 in 2014, the co-host who I still have to this day, kind of an old school guy, Rich Lord, and he did not talk a lot of gambling on his show. So I think it was a bit of a shock when I brought the gambling element onto the show. But even he started to come around to it real quick when he saw it wasn't just, hey, these are my top three picks every time I brought up gambling. It was, you know, you'd see certain prop bets get put out there about things. And I think sometimes for me at least, it's been a really good way to kind of frame, come up with topics. You know, if you just read some of those emails that we probably all get from different outlets about, hey, here are all the odds on different things this week. If you go through that email, you can put a whole show together just based on the prop bets, but you don't have to lay it out like prop bets if you don't want to. So I'm talking a little bit more of it now because it's just more relevant, like you said, because of the Supreme Court ruling. But I've always, you know, I hate to sound like, you know, some sort of, you know, soothsayer or clairvoyant, but like you probably, I've always been here. You know, anybody who's coming over to the gambling thing now as a host, it's like, hey, welcome to the party, pal. Like Die Hard, you know, like, hey, man, I've always been here.
Dude, that's the thing. And we all saw this coming, but once the network started getting involved and the coverage started getting ramped up, a lot of people just suddenly are picking games and they're on a 3-game winning streak. And it's like, first of all, if you're touting stuff like that, you got to realize the downtimes are coming. And if you're not going to tell us what you're doing during the downtimes, I don't want to hear just about the good times, right? Like a lot of guys now have stepped into it. And that's kind of where the responsibility lies for, I think, people like us and others around the industry. We understand it, but we've got to present the information in the most informative possible way, not giving out BS trends, not touting nonsense. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If anything, that, and the big myth with gambling becoming legalized, or at least legalized gradually in states around the country, and I know you know this, but the whole myth has been like, well, it's going to get legalized, so now that's going to really expose the sports market to a lot of the unseemly parts of it, and the potential of fixing games and things like that.
Right.
If anything, it brings more honesty to the market. Right. There's more oversight in the market, and I think it brings honesty to the guys you're talking about also, that seem to be like 18-2 against the spread at every time in any sport at any time of year. We know that's not true. There's more eyeballs on everything. People are smarter about it now because there's more coverage of it. Bettors are, you know, hopefully getting smarter about who they do and don't listen to, and understand that there are risks involved in everything. So I think it's been great. I unfortunately live in a state where we'll probably be the, you know, we have 50 states in the country. We'll be the 53rd to get it down here in Texas, probably, unfortunately. So, but it won't stop us from talking about it for sure.
All right, let's start with the team in your backyard. You cover them on a daily basis. You're on the pre and post game show for the Texans. They're +1 at Denver this weekend. What do you think about this game? I've got a strong opinion on it, but I'm not going to share that with you until after.
Okay, I think a few things about this. First, the Texans, the 5-game winning streak the Texans are on paper, most of it is one that a coach would say, hey, and O'Brien's been saying this, hey, we won 5 games. That's all that matters. We won 5 games. The first 3 games, I think, were a little empty. Just if you're handicapping, you would look at those games differently than a head coach would, because they really needed big mistakes by their opposition in order to win those games. Now, that said, they've used that momentum to really capitalize the last 2 weeks in games against Jacksonville and Miami. And the offensive line's gotten much, much better over those 2 weeks, which I think is a huge key, because they got to run the football to keep Deshaun Watson from getting murdered on the field. So I lean the Texans in this game, just because I'm still really hesitant to bet on the Texans right now, until, you know, just sometimes you feel a little too close. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But just looking at it purely analytically, their defense is among the best defenses in football right now, and they're playing that way. This is not a great Denver offense. Case Keenum's been very turnover prone. The Texans special teams are among the top 4 or 5 in DVOA in the league. And the offense appears to have gotten back to the offense it was last year with Deshaun Watson. He's been turnover free the last 2 games. The Texans had at least 1 turnover for the previous 20 games going back to last year. I just feel like they've got two of the three phases, they've got the better team on the field. And the third phase is the up is, well, really, I think all three phases. The third, the one that's most questionable for the Texans this season has been the offense, and I feel like it's straightened things out. And I think the other thing, Joe, this Demaryius Thomas trade, it's going to be real interesting to see how the Broncos internalize the message they're getting from their front office and yes. how that manifests itself on the field on Sunday. So I lean the Texans in this game. I'm probably not going to bet it, but I think things line up nicely for Houston.
All right, good to hear, because this is as much a play on Houston as it is a play against Denver for me. I think that Vance Joseph is on borrowed time. Last week they hung tight with Kansas City, and then the offense completely shut down in the second half, and I refuse to give Kansas City's defense that much credit. And then in addition, the Demaryius Thomas trade, that sends a big signal. You're clearly, as an organization, not trying to make a move this year, so I wonder, having watched that take place in Oakland this season, I wonder how the Bronco locker room responds. All right, game number two, Pittsburgh is catching a full field goal at Baltimore. Baltimore looked really good to start the season, 5-2. They've lost each of their last two. Pittsburgh has won three straight. Do you see them getting the Ravens in this one?
Yeah, I do. There's a little bit of revenge. Baltimore made Pittsburgh look a little silly earlier in the season. And I thought Baltimore threw about four or five games this year, you know, with the Patriots being a little bit wonky, us not knowing what the Chiefs really were yet, with especially offense great, defense poor. I thought Baltimore through about the first four or five games was a dark horse to represent the AFC the way that they were playing. Flacco had looked like he had kind of taken that Lamar Jackson message to heart in the offseason. He looked really good. They were unstoppable in the red zone earlier in the season. It's not happening now for Baltimore, and Pittsburgh seems to have straightened things out. And I think more importantly, Joe, Pittsburgh seems to have this Le'Veon Bell absence kind of figured out. Baltimore caught them at a time of year where this Le'Veon Bell, James Conner dynamic, I think all parties were still trying to figure it out. James Conner's been unbelievable the last few weeks. The offense has been unbelievable in Pittsburgh the last few weeks. And I know that normally, you know, you look at it and you go, wow, the Ravens under a field goal in this game at home. It's one of the best home field advantages in football. And Big Ben, not typically a great road quarterback. But I just like the situation, and the trends for these two teams seem to line up for the Steelers. It's not one of my best plays for the weekend, but if I had to make a play, I would take the points.
Quietly, I think this might be the best game of the weekend when it's all said and done. The Chargers in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. The Seahawks seem to have gotten right. They've won four of their last five. The only loss came by way of a two-point defeat against the Los Angeles Rams, who are currently undefeated. The Chargers are coming off the bye. Some weeks they look like world beaters. Other weeks, like in London against Tennessee, they look as sloppy as we remember. Any lean in this game?
Yeah, this is actually one of my I give out three NFL plays on the Houston Press each week, and this is one of my plays that I gave out. And I actually gave it out when it was Seattle -2. I'm looking now. It looks like it's moved down to a pick'em. So the money is going the opposite way that I'm going, which I kind of like, actually. So I still think that home field advantage in Seattle is one of the top three or four in all of football. And I think Seattle's kind of – two things about Seattle, Joe. I think Seattle's kind of figured out who they are, and I think they've kind of figured out, like, okay, we were putting way too much on Russell Wilson, and maybe we don't have, you know, one of the top three or four running backs in our backfield. Their offensive line may not be that great, but we got to try to run the football. And that's what they've become. I believe, at least in this stint here where they've kind of reset the ship, they've been one of the most prolific running teams in football just in terms of how skewed they are towards the run versus the pass. Here's the other thing, too, that I think is a little underrated with Seattle. Since that Earl Thomas injury, this is a little along the lines of the Demaryius Thomas thing you and I just talked about. I feel like, and a little along the lines of the Le'Veon Bell thing, if he happens to come back into that locker room, while Earl Thomas was a great player for Seattle, I feel like there's the potential. He was very, very outspoken about how he felt about that team. And I think there was the chance when he went down with that injury, I know a lot of people were looking at it going, man, that hurts the Seahawks. He's a great safety. But I'm thinking, I'll be interested to see how this team looks the first few games afterwards, just to see if maybe some of the negativity surrounding Earl Thomas, you get that out of the locker room, and there could be where if it was such an overbearing thing, you breathe a sigh of relief. They're 2-1 straight up. The only loss, that loss you talked about against the Rams, where it came down to the very end of the game, and they're 3-0 against the spread since that Earl Thomas injury. I don't know that there's a direct cause and effect, but it was something I was interested in at the time. So the trend that it's going this way, I think factors in as well. If all Seattle's got to do is win this game, and I know the Chargers, go look at the Chargers. I know people say, well, they only lost to the Chiefs and the Rams. they haven't really beaten anybody yet. And they let bad teams hang around like the Chargers always do. I just don't trust the Chargers and Phillip Rivers going up to Seattle to win a game. I just don't.
How often do you see this? Afternoon game at the Voodoo Dome in New Orleans. The Saints have won six straight. They look fantastic. And they're catching a point at home against the undefeated Rams. The Rams have been a joy to watch this season. I love watching these guys play football. But they don't cover spreads. I think they're a little overvalued at this point. Do you see an edge here with the Saints?
I do. And I'll put it this way. I was thinking about this game today. If you had to rank the top valued commodities, like betting commodities in NFL betting, you know, whether it's a specific player like a quarterback, I mean, obviously the top point, you know, in terms of how you value them in points, the top probably seven or eight would be quarterbacks, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or whoever, you know, and that's all relative to who their backup is. But I don't know how you feel, Joe. I feel like the home field advantage in New Orleans for a game like this has got to be one of the top 10 or 12 commodities, betting commodities in football. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely do. I studied home field advantage. It was a bit of a rudimentary study, but I did it about 5 years ago. And one of the things I learned, I mean, obviously CenturyLink. I did this because of what Seattle would do during primetime games. But New Orleans and Buffalo was one that surprised me as well, believe it or not. But the Saints, talking to former players, one guy told me they call it the Voodoo Dome because it feels like every time you play there, something breaks against you that doesn't break against you anywhere else. It's like that one game where you have a blocked punt, the one game where you make this huge gaffe, and I've been studying that ever since. I think that home field advantage, right now, it could be the best in the NFL.
Yeah, and especially in a game like this, I know it's not a primetime game, and that's sort of the narrative is that, hey, the Saints in primetime, but it's about the closest thing you can get, right? I mean, this is an undefeated Rams team that if the Saints win this game, they are now the number one team in the NFC. They're now in the driver's seat because they'll have the head-to-head. They would be, and I get it, there's seven games of football left to be played, but just in terms of how you frame this game going into it, if you're Sean Payton, if the Saints win this game, then they're going to be the number one team in the NFC with that head-to-head win over the Rams. So I think it's a huge thing. I think it's a huge game. And I like the construct of this New Orleans team versus maybe other New Orleans teams that maybe would have had similar records going into a game like this because of the way they run the football, man. Mark Ingram, since he's come back, has run the ball really well. We know what Alvin Kamara does for them too. And you've still got Drew Brees to lean on if it's a game where you happen to fall behind. So I don't feel the game can unfold in any way, especially on their home field where the Saints are going to feel uncomfortable. And if they get a lead in this game, I think they've got a pretty good chance to be able to grind some clock. And I certainly trust Drew Brees. As good as Jared Goff's been this year, I certainly trust Drew Brees more in this situation than I do Jared Goff. And I think it's a great head coaching matchup as well.
Sunday Night Football at Gillette Stadium, the Patriots laying 5 against the Green Bay Packers. I think it makes for an excellent 6-point teaser play when it comes to New England. They've only missed 15 spreads in their last 52 home games. So you want to talk home field advantage. These guys have a great one. Do you lean either way here? The trade of HaHa Clinton Dix, I found is bizarre. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking around going, what is it with you guys? You've got one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You never give me anything.
Yeah, and the way they lost that game last week, too, against the Rams, you know, with Ty Montgomery running it out of the end zone, that feels like something, that felt like a win that could have been a really galvanizing win. But sometimes when you're sitting on the cusp of a win that can be galvanizing, the negative effect of losing the game, especially losing it like that, where, I mean, Aaron Rodgers made no secret about how he felt about it on the sidelines. Like, he just looked completely frustrated. It does make you wonder. We hear rumors about Aaron Rodgers' lack of belief in the coaching staff and front office there. That feels like, you know, there are teams that at this stage of the season, when they're hovering around 500, you go, this is a team that feels like, you know, they're just getting ready to maybe kind of recalibrate things and get on a run. And then there are other teams, even where the quarterback is great as Aaron Rodgers, where you feel like it could go in the opposite direction. The Packers give me that vibe coming off that game last week. And I totally agree with you about HaHa Clinton Dix. This is the first trade deadline, Joe. I'm sure you guys talked about this out there with the Raiders being out there. This is the first trade deadline that I can remember where the NFL trade deadline felt like the NBA and MLB trade deadline. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see just if there is some sort of effect about how these teams that were the message the front office sent was, we're looking past this season, how they end up looking on Sundays the first couple Sundays after the trade deadline, and Green Bay falls into that category, especially with the spread being under a touchdown. I got to lean New England here, and New England seems to be heading into that. They seem to be heading into that part of the schedule where they really kind of, you know, they get things rolling. They take advantage of the fact that they're in the AFC East to destroy everybody there. And I think Green Bay is, especially coming off the game against the Rams last week and then that tough loss, this is a really, really tough turnaround spot for them.
Before I let you go, are there any other games on the board this weekend that catch your eye?
Yeah, the other ones I gave out on the Houston Press, the line's gone up on Kansas City. I got it at Kansas City 8.5. I just think that the Browns have sort of reverted back to being the Browns, and you know, Greg Williams. It was one of those things, Joe. Like, okay, do I want to lay this big number on the road? I know, you know, Cleveland's got a pretty good defense. I know their offense is a train wreck right now. The Rams seem to be able to score 27 to 35 points against whoever they go against. And then I just went back and watched all the Greg Williams scenes from Hard Knocks, and I'm like, oh yeah, I got to bet the Chiefs this weekend. So I took the Chiefs laying the 8.5. And then what was the other one that, oh, and I took the Redskins against Atlanta at home. That line is actually like the Seattle line. It was -2 Washington when I got it. It's moved down to a pick 'em. So a lot of people climbing on Atlanta. I feel like Atlanta, even at 3-4, is kind of a public team just because of the, you know, making the postseason the last couple of years, getting to a Super Bowl, Matt Ryan MVP. If you watch Atlanta, it's not the same team with Steve Sarkisian as the OC. The defense is really, really banged up. They're 3-4, and they played 5 of their first 7 games at home. So they're in for a really, really tough go the second half of the season. And they're in a division where they're looking up at New Orleans and Carolina right now. It does make me wonder where Atlanta's head is at as an organization as far as what their chances are. Meanwhile, Washington's 5-2, and they're 3-0 straight up and against the spread in their last 3 games at home. And their defense is really, really good. So I gave out Washington as well.
Check him out 2 to 6 p.m. Central weekdays on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He also writes at HoustonPress.com, and you can catch him on Houston Texans pre- and post-game coverage. Sean Pendergast joining us here on the Sharp 600. Sean, I appreciate the time. We've been talking on Twitter for years, but this was the first actual conversation. I enjoyed it, man. I hope we can do it again soon.
Yeah, no, first conversation, but won't be our last conversation, Joe. Really enjoyed it, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon.
All right, as we mentioned earlier, 6-2 on the season when it comes to our 6-point teaser plays of the week. That is a separate record from what we're about to get into, our standalone individual NFL plays of the week. 3-1 last week, 17-15 on the season. Let's see if we can keep this thing moving. Game number one, classic AFC North Showdown. It's the Steelers +3 at Baltimore. Sunday, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, M&T Bank Stadium. A tale of two teams heading in opposite directions as the Ravens turned a 5-2 start into a 5-4 record courtesy of back-to-back losses, complete with back-to-back failures to cover the point spread. Meanwhile, the Steelers have won 3 straight by an average of 15.3 points per game and are now 4-1 against the spread over their last 5 games overall. But the kicker here is twofold. First, the underdog in this rivalry has failed to cover the number just once in the last 8 meetings between these two teams. Second, the Steelers are an amazing 27-2 against the spread as underdogs in divisional games since the year 2000. Take the field goal with Pittsburgh and sprinkle a little on the Steelers' money line while you're at it. Game number two, the Houston Texans +1 at Denver. Sunday, 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific, Mile High Stadium. Not only are the Texans riding a 5-game winning streak thanks, in large part, to a defense that is permitting an average of just 18.6 points per contest during that aforementioned hot stretch, but the Denver Broncos are now a pitiful 7-15-2 against the spread in the 24 games in which head coach Vance Joseph has been at the helm. But wait, it gets worse. Denver is now 5-14-1 against the number over its last 20 games overall, 2-6-1 against the spread over its last 9 home games, and 5-15-1 against the spread over its last 21 showdowns with AFC opposition. This is another matchup where the underdog is going to win outright, but feel free to grab the point with Houston while you're firing on the Texans' money line come Sunday morning. Game number three, Seattle. Pick 'em against the Los Angeles Chargers Sunday, 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific, CenturyLink Field in Seattle. The Seahawks have won four of their last five outings and are a pick 'em at CenturyLink Field. Are you kidding me? Where do I sign up? Granted, the Chargers are coming off their bye week, but Los Angeles is a sloppy, undisciplined football team that is 3-8 against the spread over the last 11 games when coming off their bye week. Did you hear that right? The last 11 years when coming off the bye, the Chargers are 3-8 against the spread. They're also 3-8 against the spread over their last 11 games against teams with a winning record. Meanwhile, Seattle has covered the number in four of its last five games, is providing adequate blocking for both Russell Wilson and the ground and pound. Guess what? Tom Cable leaves and suddenly the offensive line gets better. And the Seahawks are far more buttoned up than a Chargers team that has yet to solve its issues on special teams. You heard it here first. This game is going to be decided by a Chargers special teams blunder. So play the Seahawks at the very valuable price of a pick 'em. Game number four, it's the Saints plus one against the Los Angeles Rams. Sunday, 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 Pacific, Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Full disclaimer, I am a huge Sean McVay fan and love watching the Rams play football. But you're telling me that I can have a Saints team that is playing at home while riding a six-game winning streak and somehow I get a point in the process? Waiter, check please. Drew Brees and company have covered the number in five straight and are 24-5 against the spread over the last 29 home games against teams with a winning road record. New Orleans is also an astounding 19-7 against the spread over its last 26 games when coming off a win. Pay close attention because for as fantastic as the Rams have been, this team is now way overvalued, as evidenced by the fact that Los Angeles has covered the number just once over its last five games. Take the point with the Saints, who are going to send the 72 Dolphins straight to the champagne room. To recap, your six-point teaser play of the week is the Steelers from +3 to +9, coupled with the Patriots from -5 to +1. Your standalone individual bets, Pittsburgh +3 over Baltimore, Houston +1 over Denver, Seattle as a pick 'em over the Chargers, the Saints +1 over the Rams. That is a wrap for our NFL Week 9 extravaganza. Be well, everybody, and best of luck.